Sporty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Host Brazil has won its first gold medal at the 2016 Rio Games. Joining us now with that story and more Olympic news is our friend in Rio de Janeiro, Luis Piazzi. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Rafaela Silva enters the Hall of Fame in Brazil. Third sergeant with the Brazilian Navy, once a poor girl living in the slam seat of God, won the first gold medal in judo in the Olympic Games 2016. After being disqualified at London 2012 for an illegal hold, she went through a nightmare while social media turned on her with racism insults. In despair, she considered abandoning the sport. With a psychologist helping her, she rediscovered self-esteem. And her tears and first words after winning the historical gold were, and I quote a bit of it. They criticized me. They said judo was not for me. Judo is my life. Sport is my life. With its strong martial arts culture, including many shared techniques between Brazilian jiu-jitsu, mixed martial arts, and judo, Brazil had been expected to do well in the judo competition. The Olympian judoka Flavio Canto, bronze medalist at Athens 2004, set up a school in the biggest favela in Rio, Rocinha, and it has spread to other ones, including Seat of God, where he trained Rafaela Silva, to provide new hope and opportunities to underprivileged youngsters. Tuesday was another Brazilian Happy Women's Sports Day. The Brazilian beach volleyball team won easy Argentina in Copacabana. Again, as if the entire world should hear it. Speaking about women's sport, last night Lily King, the American swimmer from Indiana, won gold in the 100-meter breaststroke style. This made the USA, after the slid on the table of medals from first place to third, end up back in first with 19 medals, being 5 gold ahead of China and Australia. And Italy running close to the top guns in fourth place, with 9 medals ahead of strong traditional contenders such as Japan and the 2016 controversial Russian team. Outside the sports arena, Rio is a giant party, indoors and out in the open. In the downtown of Rio, there are at least 4 official areas preset as a party place for the public. Then there are hundreds of country's hospitality centers, and then the local ordinary places taking advantage of the atmosphere. This can be a good sign, but among them, 2 events sends a dark cloud over the games. A strange announcement via very loud speakers at the Olympic Village informed that several food places were closed down due to lack of food supply. Another, even more sad news. 2 Olympian boxers, one from Morocco and another one from Namibia, were arrested because of sexual assault over Olympic Village housekeepers. And now, the promised Sunny Side of Sports gold medal to special cheerers at the Olympic Games. And this goes to the Brazilian young lady who will attend 5 sports events in Rio.
Hey, Sunny Side of Sports, my name is Carol Flores. I am 14 years old and I live in Rio de Janeiro. Thank you a lot for the gold medal. So I'm going to Copacabana's beach to watch volleyball with my mom, my dad, and my brother too. And we also have tickets to badminton, hockey, field hockey, and tennis. Again, thank you a lot for the gold medal, Sunny Young.
I'm Luis Piazzi for the Sunny Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Thank you for that report, Luis, and congratulations to Brazilian teenager Carol Flores for that Sunny Side of Sports gold medal. Enjoy the games, Carol. On this fourth full day of medal action at the Rio Games, we bring you part two of my interview with Olympian Thea LaFond. Thea is making her Olympic debut in the women's triple jump. The 22-year-old LaFond went to high school and college here in the Washington area. Thea was on the track and field team at the University of Maryland, located just outside Washington in College Park. Thea also has dual citizenship, the United States and Dominica, a small island nation in the Lesser Antilles of the Caribbean. She's representing Dominica in Rio de Janeiro. I asked Thea, are you satisfied with the security in the Olympic Village and in Rio overall?
Almost definitely. I mean, we are very used to seeing, you know, trucks ride by very casually with police officers in them. Before we enter a quite thorough back scan, you have to walk through a metal detector. You get wanded by police officers after that. And, of course, your ID is checked with a photo ID match electronically. So it literally feels like one of the safest spaces right now, both on the track and off the track. There's always people at every major location looking out for you.
Thea, as we talk, the athletics program has not officially begun. What does your competition schedule look like?
My competition schedule will begin this coming Saturday at 9:40 my time, Rio time, 9:40 a.m. For triple jump at the Olympic Stadium. And then finals will begin the next day, Sunday, at 8:55 p.m. Rio time.
Who are some of the medal favorites in your competition, Thea?
To sum it up quite well, it tends to be a lot of West Indians, and their very favorite Colombians. And the thing about it is that this year is very difficult to say who a lot of favorites are, just because this sport has faced a lot of turning around leadership-wise. It seems to be almost a very massive handing over from the older generation to the younger generation in the sport. So I really kind of feel like everything is for grabs right now.
Outside the triple jump, Thea, are there any athletes in particular that you're really following or are eager to follow?
I think that I'm very eager, of course, to follow Michael Phelps. Just him making his comeback is amazing. I've been keeping an eye on gymnastics just because it's always been one of my favorite events to watch. And I have a very keen love for diving for some reason. So I've been excited to watch that begin. So I think that's what I'm kind of keeping an eye on right now.
Are you able to go to the venues and watch some of the other competitions, Thea?
I have not yet, but I am planning on it very soon. And yes, they do have access for other athletes to support other athletes, which is very awesome. Because, you know, if you're going to be here, why not go to a stadium? You don't have to watch it on TV in the village.
Exactly. Finally, Thea, we talked earlier about the Parade of Nations. Would you consider that your big Olympic highlight so far?
So far, most definitely. And I think it's one thing to walk, but it's another thing to see the support I got from that. I know it's weird to say, but I just didn't think that many people would be watching. And I didn't think that many people would be so proud for me. And I think that's what really hit home. That's what made it so memorable. It's just having the support from everywhere, from France, from people I know in Kenya, from the United States, from the Caribbean. It's just unending love. And it's just some kind of inner peace you get from this, and it truly is beautiful.
Thea, thank you very much for talking with us once again on The Voice of America, and we wish you the best of luck at your very first Olympics.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Anytime.
And one more quick Olympic note about Thea LaFond. When she participated in the Parade of Nations during the opening ceremony in Rio, she was exactly one half of a two-member Dominica team. On the men's side, Dominica is represented by another triple jumper, Yordanis Duranyonya. Well, after an absence of almost a century, rugby is back in the Olympics. VOA's Park Brewer joins us from Rio with a report on the Olympic rugby competition.
We think it's brilliantly designed, the stadium that we have, for spectators. What's great about Sevens rugby is when the fans can be very close. It sounds obvious, but the closer they are to the players, the better the atmosphere.
It's a very attractive form of the game for young girls, and I think when, you know, people all around the world and women see the sport on TV and the Olympic coverage, I think there's going to be a huge upsurge in interest.
What really is important is the percentage of fill of your stadia, the impact you have in social media, broadcast ratings in key Olympic markets, the atmosphere in the stadium, very important. I think volume ticket sales also is one of the criteria.
Jonah Haskell joins us now with an update on the men's and women's Olympic basketball tournaments. Sporty Olympic greetings, Jonah.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Monday was day three of the Olympic basketball tournament in Rio, as the men featured three games from Group A, while four were played on the women's side in Groups A and B. The U.S. men's team, which features a litany of NBA stars, including Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, continued their march towards a gold medal with a 113-69 drubbing of Venezuela. The Americans started out slow, and the first quarter ended with the game tied, but coach Mike Krzyzewski's team stepped it up in the second quarter, outscoring the Venezuelans 30-8 to take the lead heading into halftime. The second half was more of the same, as the Americans won comfortably, although Kevin Durant, who scored 16 points, isn't taking anything for granted, especially since many top U.S. players aren't on the team this year.
It's going to be challenging either way. It would have been challenging if they were here as well, but we got some great players here. I mean, just because they haven't been here before, or they might not be MVPs or 10-time All-Stars, but we got some damn good players on this team. And, you know, no matter, you know, what anybody says, I got nothing but confidence in everybody here, and I feel as though we have a great chance to do something special.
But that something special would be winning the third straight gold medal for USA basketball, and Carmelo Anthony thinks that only they can stand in their own way.
What can stop us from winning the gold? I think us. I think just us. If we don't come together and play the way that we know how to play, if we take this for granted, if we think that we can just go out there and just win just because we have the best players in the world, then we have a chance of losing. So it's really up to us.
In the other Group A games, France defeated China 88-60 to capture their first win in Rio, and Australia remained undefeated with a 95-80 win over Serbia. Australia's looked impressive so far in Rio and is tied with the United States at the top of the group with 4 points each, while France and Serbia each have 3 points, and China and Venezuela sit in the cellar, having collected just 2 points so far. Group B games will continue on Tuesday as Argentina takes on Croatia, Spain plays the host Brazil, and Lithuania faces Nigeria. Argentina, Lithuania, and Croatia sit atop that group, having all won their opening game. On the women's side, four games took place on Monday. The U.S. women, who haven't lost a game in the Olympics since 1996, having won 41 straight games and five consecutive gold medals, romped past Spain 103-63. The U.S. women, who scored 121 points in their defeat of Senegal on day two, have now scored over 100 points in consecutive games for the first time since 2004 and are expected to win their sixth consecutive gold in Rio this year. Meanwhile, the Canadian women came from behind to win a tight game against Serbia, 71-67, and Japan defeated the hometown team Brazil, 88-62. Finally, China rolled past Senegal, 101-64. The United States is tied with Canada with 4 points each at the top of Group B, as China and Spain are 1 point behind the lead with three each, and winless teams Serbia and Senegal are in last with 2 points each. In the women's Group A, Australia, France, and Japan are all tied for the lead with 4 points each, while Belarus, Turkey, and Brazil have 2 points each. At the Olympic basketball tournament, the top four teams from each group advance to the quarterfinals, with teams earning 2 points for a win and one for a loss. Olympic basketball will continue Tuesday, with the knockout stages beginning on August 16th and the women's final on August 20th, one day before the men's final, which will be on August 21st.
Thanks, Jonah. That was Jonah Haskell with that Olympic basketball report. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty Olympic greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you, as always.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in Rio on this Tuesday?
Well, we'll start with a Phelps face and a finger wag. So we'll start with the Phelps face. Hashtag Phelps face. This was right before the 200-meter butterfly race, and actually, I guess, during the kind of qualifying race. Michael Phelps, you see him sitting there looking at one of his opponents and giving him the death stare. Mm. And they asked him, reporters asked him after the race, what was it about the face? He said, I was just focusing on the heat. I couldn't, wasn't really paying attention to this guy who was kind of shadow boxing in front of him. But social media has run away with this hashtag Phelps face, photoshopping lasers coming out of his eyes and setting his opponent's head on fire. But just showing that competition and that drive and that
face. He's got his game face.
Yeah, it's the anger. It's all that built up. Now, this is the gentleman he was staring at, I believe from South Africa, was the one who beat him in London at the 200-meter butterfly. So he has maybe a grudge against him, you could say. Mm. So he's staring down this guy. Even though he said he wasn't necessarily, you can see he looks angry. Now, something else that's fun that people have found on social media is that they found a picture of Michael Phelps' young son, who is there in the stands, who's become a bit of a social media celebrity himself because he's an infant. So they have these big kind of earmuffs on his ears to keep the sound of the crowd from damaging his hearing. And they photoshopped pictures of Michael Phelps and his son side by side. And his son is making a very kind of grumpy face, just like his father. So they said, like father, like son. The two of them have their game faces on. One of them, of course, the greatest Olympian. The other one, the son of that Olympian. So, That moment is being shared quite a bit on social media.
Another social media aspect, Andrew, regarding Michael Phelps, hashtag cupping. Phelps and some of the other Olympic swimmers, they have what appear to be bruises on their back and chest and shoulders. And the cupping technique, can you tell our Voice of America listeners about that?
Yeah, so I was one of those people that had to look that up because I watched the first race. I said, what's going on with Michael Phelps? Is this a new trend or something that I'm not aware of? But the cupping technique apparently is something that you kind of put these, suction cup kind of jars almost on your skin, and they're supposed to increase blood flow and loosen up the muscles. So if you notice, they were all kind of around his shoulders and back, and that's really what you need to be, propelling yourself forward and swimming. So that was why he had those marks, the circular kind of bruises on his back. But yeah, a lot of people on social media wondering what exactly is going on there. and then questioning, is it actually helpful? Well, Michael Phelps won that gold medal in the relay after he had those cupping marks on him. So apparently it was helpful.
His cup runneth over, I guess he said.
You could say that. There you go.
What else is trending in Rio, Andrew?
Well, I talked about that finger wag, and there's another swimmer, Lily King, who's a U.S. Swimmer, wagging her finger at her Russian rival, Yulia Efimova. And so they picked up this moment as Lily King is waiting to race, and Yulia Efimova wins her heat, and Lily King just kind of wags the finger at her. Mm. And they asked her about that afterwards, and she said, well, she was Michael Phelps, when he was talking about the game face, he said, oh, I was watching the Heat. I wasn't really paying attention, kind of brushed it off. Lily King was very blunt. She said, well, I don't like her because she's been accused of doping in the past. I don't think she plays fair. And I was just trying to symbolize and show that by wagging my finger. So the wag heard around the world, but yeah, lots of attention to that on social media. People saying that's some gamesmanship right there. Kind of wagging your finger, if not in your opponent's face right in front of them, at least in front of the TV screen where your opponent's being shown.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a new photo of Usain Bolt dancing the samba in Rio with some very lovely Brazilian women, scantily clad Brazilian women, I might add. But the line from the Washington Post reporter, Andrew, funny line from Rick Mays. He goes, rest assured, where Usain Bolt goes, a party follows. And his Olympic news conference in Rio did not disappoint. And watching him dance the samba, no, Bolt did not disappoint. Now we have to wait and see whether he's going to win three more Olympic gold medals in Rio.
There's a lot of anticipation for that in the upcoming week. But the great thing about social media, as we've talked about time and time again, is that you do get these moments that you wouldn't see in the pool or on the racetrack. So you do get to see Usain Bolt dancing the samba. In case in point, we have another moment that was trending. And this is, you know, we talked about the game face and the finger wag. Well, this is a really nice Olympic moment. Before the gymnastics qualifiers the other day, you had two gymnasts taking a selfie together, which, you know, you would expect that in the age of social media. The thing that sets us apart is that it was a North Korean and a South Korean gymnast.
Interesting.
Now, this is very interesting because, of course, North Korea and South Korea are enemies. They're technically still at war. And to see these two athletes from these countries that are perpetually feuding come together, and just even that simple act of taking a selfie picture for social media, a lot of people jumped on that and said, what a great moment in the Olympics. It's, you know, other than the competition, other than anything we see in the, you know, in the balance beam or the uneven bars, this moment before any of that happened was a great Olympic moment, and it's really symbolized what the Olympics are all about.
Almost hashtag gymnastic detente.
Yeah, something like that. That might be the new hashtag right there. You might
kind of
have
a long. It's kind of a long hashtag.
It's a little long, but we can work with that. We can work with that. But it's, yeah, no, this moment, the fact that these two gymnasts, you know, put aside whatever geopolitical barriers are in the way and just said, you know what, we're both here to compete. You know, when we get into the Olympics, we're all athletes. That's really what we use, this kind of global, universal feeling. And so to see that, a lot of people just really hopeful and said, this is such a great Olympic moment and one that, like I said, really symbolizes what the Olympics are all about. So so kudos to them for doing that. I don't believe that either of them, the teams, did particularly well in the qualifying, unfortunately. That's actually the next big social media conversation. The American women today in the team competition, they're by and away the favorites to win. So a lot of attention on them. But regardless of the athletics, this is a great just person moment, a human moment. So that's why, you know, we see a lot of these things pop up on social media and they become trending topics very quickly. Even if it's not about athletic prowess, it's about just being a good person, being a good citizen of the world, which is really nice to see.
On the sporting front, Andrew, judo making headlines in Rio. We had an athlete from Kosovo winning that country's first gold medal in judo, and Brazil's first gold medal from Rafaela Silva comes in judo. So congratulations to those judoka athletes.
That's a good word. I didn't know that word. That's a good word I learned. And in fact, the fun fact about the Kosovo judoku, I guess you'd call him or whatnot, winning the medal is that it not only was it the first gold medal ever for Kosovo, it's the first medal ever for Kosovo. Mm. So imagine not only just winning the first medal for your country, but having it be a gold medal. That's a moment that that country and that athlete are going to remember forever.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And watch on Wednesdays. We'll be back with Facebook Live on Wednesday. So please tune in and watch us. And that wraps up the August 9th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The international community is facing a formidable challenge in the Lake Chad Basin region in defeating the terror group Boko Haram, while at the same time helping those whose lives have been thrown into chaos by the group and are in desperate need of humanitarian support. In remarks at a UN Security Council briefing, U.S. Ambassador to the UN Samantha Power spoke of the horror she heard from individuals when she visited regional camps serving those who had fled Boko Haram's violence, the looting and burning of homes, the murder of men and boys, the rape and abduction of women and girls. A robust military effort against Boko Haram is critical, said Ambassador Power. The multinational joint task force, composed of units from Benin, Cameroon, Chad, Niger, and Nigeria, is playing a growing role in improving coordination between countries, as well as in planning and intelligence sharing. These efforts have produced important gains in recent months, including freeing thousands of hostages, destroying dozens of terrorist camps, and recovering around 75% of the territory Boko Haram once controlled. Ambassador Power emphasized that the military fight against Boko Haram must also include respect for human rights. Ambassador Power applauded the European Union and the United Kingdom for their contributions to the multinational joint task force, noting that the U.S. has supported the force with more than $71 million of assistance, including advisors, logistics support, and non-lethal equipment. She urged other member states to step up and support this critical effort. Ambassador Power stressed that in addition to strengthening the military operation, much more is needed to address the dire humanitarian situation. In the last 2 years, the U.S. provided more than $281 million in humanitarian aid for the countries affected by Boko Haram, but they remain grossly underfunded. There are 2.5 million people displaced within their nations and some 150,000 pushed beyond their borders. A key point, more than 90% of displaced people have been taken in by extended family members, a testimony to the goodness and altruism alive in the region, even as it is beset by Boko Haram's brutal evil. Now is the time, said Ambassador Power, for the international community to step up and assist the suffering people of the Lake Chad Basin region, to empower the good and defeat the evil of Boko Haram.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two-Face.
Nato C. Hey. Tune in at 200
300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.